making the turn, transitioning today here on Prep Sports Now. It's basketball season, officially last week, actually, but we always hold off a little bit here at the Sun while we wrap up football, roll out the Super 7 teams on the Monday after the state football tournament, which we did today. Make sure you check that out at LasVegasSun.com if you haven't yet. We're going to close the book on football and then kind of preview what we think of the basketball season, but only after we remind you that this podcast is brought to you by the Zero Team Fatalities Program. Zero may not be a good number for your football team, but it's the only acceptable number when it comes to team fatalities on Nevada's roads. Be a zero, always buckle up, watch out for pedestrians, and don't drive distracted. Brewer, you were at the state championship football game where Gorman won number 5 in a row, pounded Reed high from Reno, but Reed did lead 7-0.
Yeah, Reed scored first possession, took about 2 minutes, 5 plays, scored a passing touchdown. If there was an Achilles heel with the Gorman defense, it was their pass defense this year. However, in Gorman's defense, they got downfield on a long bomb where the kid threw the ball up in the wind and it rattled around and some kid came down with it and made a great athletic play and took it all the way deep into Gorman territory. But Gorman then scores 41 unanswered points, wins its 5th in a row. Randall Cunningham the 2nd, as good as advertised, the best I've ever seen him. 211 yards rushing, 4 rushing touchdowns, 9 of 11 passing for 111 yards, and another touchdown. He was the difference maker, the star of the day. Finally got his chance to shine.
49-14 final for Bishop Gorman. Here's what I want to know. I know Cunningham was the star, as you said in your story, talked about. He's one of the most heavily recruited kids in town. Could pretty much go anywhere he wants. Are we going to be waiting until February to hear about that, or do you think now that the season's over, is he going to be jumping into looking at colleges?
I actually think we might have to wait past February to hear from that. I think that because with Randall, here's the deal with Randall. Is he going to be – how long could he do track and football? When you reach a certain level in college, do you need to say – I'm just going to be a quarterback. I'm going to try to be a first-round quarterback. Or do you say, I'm going to try to make the Olympics and be this high jumper? Okay, he's the nation's best high jumper for high schools. He's done the Junior Olympics. He's won the Junior Olympics. But as we saw Saturday, it would be not a great decision to give him one football. So obviously he's going to have to go to a college where there's both track and football available. And as we've seen him develop all year from game 1 to game 13 or 14, he's still a work in progress. He was rough at the beginning of the year. He's only, you know, been a starter 1 year. He's going to need to find a program where they're going to let him develop. So only time will tell what's going to happen. I know he's definitely going to be on a college football roster. I just don't know where or how track's going to play into it.
I think we kind of have differing views on this. I think we've talked about it before on the podcast, but I don't, especially early in his college career, I don't think there's any problem with him doing track. Because you know who else did track in football?
Yeah, RG3.
RG3.
And so everybody makes the comparison. I mean, a lot of football players do run track, and you see the best college teams have track programs. No doubt about it. It could be done. Eventually, he's going to have to figure out what he's going to do, and you could argue that some of the struggles earlier in the season this year was because he missed some spring ball, not a lot, but some while he was doing track. And, you know, it's, you know, when you have an off Saturday and you say, okay, I want to go practice, you got to make a decision which sport you want to go practice, and one's going to suffer for whatever it's worth.
Makes sense. My final question on this game is, we talked last week about which Bishop Gorman team in this current dynasty is the best. This one wasn't really in the conversation. We thought we were kind of thinking the last 2 years, maybe even the first year of Tony Sanchez in 2009. Does this performance change your view at all? Does this team work its way up in the ranks?
I think this team is this team is great. I mean, a nationally ranked team. They took the number one team in the nation. They gave them everything they could handle. They only lost 2 games. They won in New Jersey, where last year's team lost at home to the same New Jersey school. They won some big games on the road. But in my opinion, I think this team is probably the fifth best, which isn't bad. I mean, they're still awesome, but I just think that having Solomon at quarterback and being able to sling it around and having a D1 tailback, they had a D1 tailback the last 4 years. Not that Stewart and Booze aren't D1 tailbacks, but it's probably a different – the passing game was just a lot better.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Any final thoughts on the football season?
Five in a row, first team since 1928. The All-Star games are actually this weekend, Case Kiefer.
Why so fast?
They usually wait till May, but they changed the rules to get them in December, which is, I think, where a lot of other states play their games. Apparently, colleges are out recruiting now, and I'll have a story about that next week, later in the week, why they moved the games.
Interesting. Well, some of those kids might not be available because they'll be playing basketball, right?
Hopefully.
I know one kid that comes to mind as I was looking over the early box scores, who I didn't even realize was this good at basketball, one of the best football players in town, Tyrell Crosby, off to the start for the Green Valley basketball team.
That's true, and Antre Johnson from Basic also plays basketball.
Right, I knew he played basketball, though. So getting to basketball, kind of the same story in football. Bishop Gorman out for state championship number 3. They're the team to beat, starting with the Twin Towers inside, Steven Zimmerman and Chase Jeter. I almost said Derek Jeter. Wow, that wouldn't have been good. And then I admitted to it. But Gorman hasn't lost a game to a local opponent in a really long time, I believe. And looks like anyone to do it this year going to be pretty hard-pressed. Although Clark from the Division 1A, I think, pulled it off in the practice game recently.
Yeah, and I think Arbor View, which returns 4 starters, including Justin Burks, who's a real good wing, has a chance to match up against Gorman in the playoffs. Listen, Gorman's got 3 really exceptional pieces. They've got Zimmerman and Jeter, who are 7 foot and 6'9", respectively. And right there, I don't care how good they are, if they know how to tie their shoes, being 7 foot and 6'9" in high school basketball is a huge asset because most teams don't have the size to match up against that, right? Now you factor in the fact that, you know, these kids are 5-star recruits with scholarship offers from Duke, Carolina, Arizona, UNLV, you name it, and they're great. Then you've got Noah Robotham, who's a 4-year point guard, leading the way. So you're kind of locked up with, you know, winning those positions every night. The one thing Gorman says is that they're a little weak on the wings, that they graduated Kennedy, they graduated Rashad Muhammad, and they got to find people to play. And while they have players, they're not experienced. And that's where they're a little worried, because if you look like at an Arbor View, who everybody suspects will play Gorman in the Sunset Finals, Arbor View's best player plays on the wing. So there could be an advantage for an opposing team. So I think Gorman is obviously the team to beat, the leader in the clubhouse. They could pound it inside and beat you at any given time. I think they also have some talent that they could develop. So right now, if we played today, I think the Arbor View Gorman game would be close, and I could even see Arbor View winning, as crazy as that sounds. But I think once the Gorman players' case develop a little bit, it's obviously Gorman's state championship to lose.
Yeah, Arbor View off to a 6-0 start, and I got to agree with you, you could make some cases that they could match up well with this Gorman team. You talk about Burks, but when I look at their roster, I covered them a few times last year, and I noticed some of the other names too. Charles Porter, Terrell Butler were both really big contributors to them last year, and both those guys are guards too. So you look on the perimeter, maybe Arbor View has, you could argue, an advantage over Gorman right now, which we were talking about before we came in here. Centennial was kind of the team that was supposed to be able to beat Gorman last year, was supposed to have a great chance, and they did. They played 4 times, only got blown out in the state championship. Every other game was close. And the reason why is because they were better in the backcourt with the Allen twins, who are now at Stanford. Khalil Thompson, who is back and is the star of that team now. That was kind of how Centennial kept those games close and had a chance to win. I mean, the fact that they didn't win any of the 3, they were close, I think that's some mistakes they made. So if Arbor View could get in a game like that, the problem is they're not going to have the luxury of getting 4 shots at them.
Yeah, and I think another important note with Gorman is that when your twin towers are more susceptible to fouls, if they get in foul trouble, then all of a sudden the tables are switched. Gorman beat Faith Lutheran 2 weeks ago in its first game, yet they were only leading 8-4 after the first quarter, and I think only by 8 points after the third quarter. And that was because Zimmerman and Jeter each got two quick fouls. And when they had that closed-door scrimmage against Clark, which Clark scored more points, even though it was a scrimmage environment, Zimmerman and Jeter also got into foul trouble, from what I understand. So controlling the fouls, which is tough to do because calling fouls is a pretty objective thing, could be Gorman's downfall as well. So while Gorman's leader in the clubhouse, I obviously think high of Arborview, and I think you do as well. And I think we both, I don't want to speak for you, but we both kind of think high of Centennial. I know they're not as sexy as they were last year because they had the Allen twins that were committed to Stanford, but we've seen Khalil Thompson up front, up close, and that dude is awesome.
Yeah, I was actually going, my next point was going to be, I'm not ready to write off the number two spot in the Sunset to Arborview, because I think Centennial, especially by the end of the year, is going to be awfully dangerous. Khalil Thompson's just a joy to watch. I mean, undersized kid that just plays so hard. In the game they beat Arborview last year in the playoffs, he made something like 6 or 7 threes. He has range. He can drive. They have, who's going to be the best freshman in town? I think it goes without saying. And Troy Brown already has the UNLV offer. He had 18 in their last game. I mean, this is like a 14 or 15-year-old kid playing as a true freshman, already doing big things. And they kind of have an inside force, too. Eddie Davis was really raw last year, but you could tell he had talent. He's back. So I think Centennial's going to be right there, too. And I think as far as in Gorman's division, the Southwest, Centennial's probably the team you look at as their toughest competition. But Cimarron is
the good news this week. Centennial Friday is at Arborview, and I think what's going to be the game of the week. Also, big shot Eddie Davis. He hit the three to send them to the state championship game against Canyon Springs.
Really?
Yeah. It wasn't one of the Allens.
He's like a center, right?
They're down by 5 with 40 to go when he pops out and he hits a three from the corner, and the whole crowd's like, okay.
Wow.
Canyon's not going to win this game.
I wasn't at the state tournament last year, but that's very interesting. So Centennial, look out for them. I love that Arborview and Centennial getting this early season matchup, even though they're not in the same division. My question is, do they still play for the right to Canes over between the two schools in basketball? If you know, that's what they do in football.
I don't know. I think we should bring that up. You like Canes, right?
Oh, yeah. Canes is great.
That bread is phenomenal.
Yeah, the bread is great.
You like the bread, right?
Yeah. And
okay. Do you eat the potatoes?
No.
No, just the chicken and the bread.
Well,
doesn't the milk come with fries?
Yeah, fries.
Yeah.
When you say that, when someone just says potatoes, I stupidly just assume you mean
like baked potatoes.
Yeah.
No. Like, do you eat the French fries?
Everything there is great. And I don't think I really understood the whole battle for Canes thing that they did with football at Arborview and Centennial until when I was covering signing day up there. I went there for lunch, and literally half the school, including all the kids that just signed, like Elijah George was right after he signed to Oregon, was at the Canes. Like half the basketball team at Centennial was at Canes. They all actually go there. So I think they should play for it in basketball.
They do big business. I wonder what Canes thinks. Are they like, listen, we don't want to lose half our clientele.
That's true.
Sunrise Region?
Right, Sunrise Region. Because you mentioned Canyon Springs, who is off to a 4-0 start. I think I mentioned at the top, Green Valley, they beat them last night. This is Tuesday, in case you're listening later. Came back to beat Green Valley. And
Arborview came back to beat Green Valley. Right?
I'm all turned around.
So am I now.
That's
how we get. Well, football, we're awesome. We suck at
hoops. Had someone else that they came at back in Sierra Vista.
Yeah, Sierra Vista.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. Too many games.
Too many teams, too many games. It's tougher for us to keep track.
Yeah, Canyon Springs had a close game on Monday night with Sierra Vista, but Jared Davis, who's like one of four guys that's going to be really good for Canyon Springs this year, scored 28 in a slip final.
And I think Canyon Springs thinks that they could play with Gorman, for whatever it's worth.
I mean, Karen, I think right now, if you're ranking the teams in the upper division, and I know we both love Arborview and you think ultimately they're number two, I still think I put Canyon Springs number two. They're coming off of a season where they made the state tournament, like you said.
Should have went to the finals.
Right. I mean, they've got great starting point with Chad Carr, the Davis brothers.
Jared. Can't believe I forgot that kid's first name, last name Edmund. They got a lot of good players. When they came down for their photos, they had five kids come down, their top five guys, and the younger Davis brother wasn't included. And I think he's their best player, better than Shaq.
Chris Nelf.
That
guy's been playing there. I think he's played since he might have even been on the varsity team as a freshman.
Yeah. These are guys that are three-year varsity guys who are going to be battle-tested. The problem, I think, for Canyon is that the Sunrise playoffs, you know it every year, dude. It's like anybody could win. Valley, Vegas, Foothill, Canyon. It's always a really great tournament that's fun to watch and usually features an upset. You remember 2 years ago, Green Valley came out of nowhere with Nugget and won, and you know they just got hot at the right time. And shoot, Foothill's won 8 straight Southeast titles, and they appear to be the best team in the Southeast again this year. And
Canyon Springs last year, even though they were good all year, they were down their two best players and still won, right? I mean,
yeah.
Chad Carr was out, and so was Jared Davis, didn't play probably all year.
Yeah, and they didn't even take, they didn't even win, they took third. They had to play a road game in the first round of the playoffs. They took third behind Valley and Vegas in the Northeast.
Exactly, so I think it'll be really interesting at that time of year. One thing that stood out to me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, about all the other teams you just listed, is I feel like, at least from what I know, they all have a clear, when it's in crunch time, when we need a basket, you know who you're going to. If it's Valley, it's Spencer Mathis. If it's Vegas, probably Ray Smith. At least I thought so.
Yeah, probably Ray Smith, yeah.
Foothill, Austin Starr.
Yeah, Austin Starr.
And Canyon, I think it's still to be determined. They have so many guys.
I know who wants to take the shot. Listen, this is Shaquille Carr's team. Forget that he wasn't there for the playoffs last year. You know, he's the most talented guy. He is arguably the most talented player in town in the senior class. Fair to say?
I think it's fair to say arguably. He can make some case for some other
guys. Okay. And I think if that dude got hot for 2 weeks in late February, I think Canyon, nobody would want to play Canyon. And I think if that dude got hot, Gorman would be in some trouble, for whatever it's worth.
I could see that. There's certainly some good seniors along with Chad Carr, but he belongs in the conversation, and I really want to see what type of year he has. The other division from the Sunrise, the Southeast, looks like if you're picking a team in here, and I loved Basic last year, I think Basic would be good again this year, but I think Foothill and Coronado are probably the favorites.
I think Foothill is clearly the A, and I know Jeff Kaufman's listening at Coronado and I know he's going to call me all upset, but I just don't see them threatening. I think Foothill is the Miami Heat, and Coronado isn't the Pacers. They're probably the team behind the Pacers, if that makes sense.
Heat and the Pacers play tonight.
They do.
I like Foothill, too. If you're making me pin down a team that I'm picking right now, I go with Foothill. But I think it might be a little closer than you say. Foothill has won the league championship, I believe, the last 2 years, and maybe three of the last
seven.
Four.
Last seven.
Last seven? Well, I thought the Coronado.
They split with Coronado. They tied with Coronado.
Oh, well, I think Coronado beat them both times that year.
Yeah.
So I know semantically it's a tie, but I think I'm giving that 2011 to Coronado.
I agree.
Foothill still wins it most of the time, and I think they'll be a tough out again this year.
I agree. Foothill did lose two players to ACLs, which is a common theme. Paris Estrada, one of my favorite players from Durango, four-year varsity guy, done for the year, nasty leg injury. And at Gorman, they were going to start Vico's brother, Chase, say the last name.
Nomahaya.
Whatever you want to say.
Good last year.
He was real good as a freshman, yeah. Done for the year, ACL.
Wow.
Yeah, so. And Valley had a kid whose leg totally cracked, like the kid from Louisville, going up for an uncontested layup by himself on the corner of the gym. So it's been a bad year for leg injuries.
And speaking of Foothill ACLs, member of the girls Super 7, Taylor Turney, coming up for an ACL.
Yeah.
Limit her minutes at the beginning of the year. So, yeah, a lot of injuries. It's always another thing to watch. Disappointing, but that's part of the game.
It's part of the game. You're coming off an injury yourself.
That's true. I tore some ligaments in my ankle in our rec league basketball. But luckily, the team rallied behind that and made it to the championship. Took second. And there's actually some kids every year that it makes me feel older and older. But there's some kids that, like, we used to cover that are in the league. I can't remember their names now. There's one kid that played at Centennial. Philip Payne was in the league for a while, the former UNLV receiver. So Henderson Rec League, come play me someday if I ever.
Would you have made a difference in the championship game?
Doubtful. I mean, the team we played was a lot better.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
All right. Well, enough about the Rec League. Why don't we get to the picks? What do you think?
All righty. Here we go. Our first crack at the picks. For whatever it's worth, I had a fluke year last year. I went 52-13.
I think it might have been 16.
16, fluky year. So whatever I pick, I should come back down to earth this year.
It's only the third year of us picking basketball, and I think I won the first year and you won the second year.
Okay.
So in football, we flip-flopped every year, too. You've won two, I've won two. So right. This is for some real bragging rights this year.
This is huge. All right, the first game we're picking of the new basketball season – couldn't be a better game. Coronado at Valley. Valley, I obviously think very highly of Spencer Mathis. Coronado has the Austin kid who's been above average, if not downright phenomenal. Coronado 0-2. Valley lost Monday night to Clark in what was a pretty good game. And apparently Spencer Mathis posterized some kid and it was caught on YouTube, for whatever it's worth. I think this game is a coin flipper case. I think it goes down to the wire. I'm going to take Valley, not because they're at home, just because I think they're destined to win this one.
I wish I had the name. Is Austin, Trey Austin, the kid we had him in our Halloween hoops?
And the other Austin, the sharpshooter, is it Morgan maybe?
They have Eddie Austin and Trey Austin.
Oh, the heck do I know?
We got to figure this out.
Yeah.
I really like the sharpshooter, Ivy League kid probably. Really good shooter and plays extremely hard. One of my favorite players in town for early candidate. He was great for us in Halloween.
We'll get his name before the show's over. Let's go.
We promise we'll get better. First time we're trying to learn all these teams. I think I'm going to go Valley, too. I just Coronado's 0-2, lost by 11 to Centennial, lost by 20-something to Clark. You got to show me something before I pick you, so I'm going Valley in the first game of the year. Second game, talk about two teams we don't know much about, Spring Valley and Desert Oasis. They're coming off of the season where they want to combine something like 6-45 or something like that. So this might not be the most pretty game to watch, but two teams on the rebound. Who's going to get one here?
Well, Spring Valley didn't. Spring Valley won a game this year. They've been a little more competitive. They're improved, so shout out to them. But I think Dio's going to get the W on this game.
All right, I'll go. They've already got one win, so why don't they get another? I'll go Spring Valley.
All righty. And that's Austin Morgan. I was right.
Austin Morgan,
shout out to him. He's probably is he the best player in the Southeast?
Austin Starr is pretty good, too. And Austin Starr's thing is shooting 3 points, too. Do we have a 3-point contest?
Well, here's the thing. I think that Austin Morgan of Coronado might be able to create a shot better than Austin Starr of Foothill.
I mean, very small sample size of what I've seen. From what I've seen, I would agree with that.
Okay, so for me,
the Austin Morgan kid was just fearless.
He's a good player.
He's the top kids in the nation. We were playing against Finley, and he's, like, running in there and getting physical with him when no one else would and trying to push him out of the way when he's, like, a half the size of them. Love Austin Morgan.
I do too. All right. Shout out to Austin Morgan. Okay. Next game, Arborview at Cimarron. Arborview, as we said, is 6-0. They've got the Porter kid. They got Burks. They got the four returning starters. They get a W against the Spartans tomorrow night at Cimarron, 73-60. Shout out to Kyle and his kids.
Yeah. Arborview wins this game. I got them.
All right. Thursday's games. This is a good game. Centennial. Making the drive in from Centennial, and you know where that is from GPS Friday, right?
Yeah.
They're driving into our neck of the woods, Green Valley, to play the Gators. And you know what that means. The instigators are coming to town. And the instigators really impact the game, even though I don't think there's any home court advantage. But they're going to get down the kids' throats, and they're going to get in freshman Troy Brown's head. He's never played against a hostile crowd, Case Kiefer. I think this game is going to be real close. I think Tyrell Crosby beats up whoever Centennial has on the inside. With that said, I still got Centennial 69-66.
Wow. I thought you were going Green Valley there.
I sold myself on it, and I put down Centennial.
Centennial, three games this week. They're playing Palo tonight, then Green Valley and Arborview. I know we're picking the Arborview game, too, so as much as I want to go against you, because I think this is going to be really close, I can't pick Centennial to go 0-2 in these games. I know I'm picking Arborview, so I guess I'm gonna go with Centennial on this one. I think Troy Brown is a star. I think he can handle the Hawthorne.
I think he gets rattled. First time dealing with it.
Well, why aren't you picking Green Valley?
I regret that I didn't pick Green Valley, but I already sent you the picks, okay. And I got Centennial. I can't. It's like when you go to the sports book and you get a ticket that's not the one you want. Do you give it back? No, it's bad luck. You roll with it.
I do, and I usually lose.
Taught you something. Okay, Palo at Vegas. Palo's junior class is loaded and awesome. Vegas's junior class loaded and awesome. Ray Smith, Patrick Savoy, Jr., the Bay kid's only a sophomore at Vegas. I think this is going to be a great game. Push comes to shove, though. Ray Smith is the man. I'll take the Kitty Cats, because I always take the Kitty Cats. Vegas 77, PV Nation 71.
I'm going to do something that I think sometimes gets you in trouble in football when we're picking games. You just get a little bit too obsessed with the names on the jersey. And look, ever since I've been here, Vegas has been a good team, but a team that's kind of in the middle of the Sunrise, the 3 or 4 seed in the playoffs. And Palo Verde is always at the top. I just, seeing the Palo Verde program, I think, I know they're down a little bit this year, but they have some guys back. John Morgan, Travis Gondrezic, probably said that terribly wrong, Braxton Richards. I'm going to go Palo Verde here. I know Vegas should be favored, and I'm probably making the wrong pick, but I think Palo's going to be good by the end of the year, and they're going to get some confidence in this one.
Let this be said that Vegas was beating Valley by, I think, 12 points last year in the Sunrise semifinals. The scoreboard malfunctioned, had to stop the game for about 5 or 6 minutes. Vegas lost all momentum. It was like the Super Bowl when the lights went out. Valley won the game. Vegas should have been playing for the Sunrise Championship. Just letting you know, Case. I know you're a Vegas hater. You're a hater. I'm letting you know. Okay.
I think it'll be interesting. They play Foothill tonight. I know we're not picking that because the picks go up tonight. But if I knew what happened in this game, I would feel more confident picking the Palo game.
That makes sense. Next game, Sierra Vista at Western. Admittedly, don't know much about either team. However, Sierra Vista did give Canyon a bit of a run, so I'm going to take the Mountain Lions.
Yeah, I think I'll go Sierra Vista, too.
That's a safe pick.
Yeah, I think so. I think last year, maybe they showed a few signs of maybe about a 500 record. I think they're going to be all right this year. I'll pick them to beat Western.
All right, Friday, high school basketball Friday, my favorite day. Okay, Eldo at DP, the Mike Uzane Bowl. Desert Pines is still without Malik Davis, who's got a knee injury, but he'll be back. He's fortunate. Desert Pines has Ramit Keith. They obviously have Nate Grimes, who's been above average to great in his first some varsity games. DP's real young in the backcourt. I still think their press makes it difficult on El Dorado, and I got the Jags.
DP is a defending
state champs,
but already has lost to Clark early this year, right? Or is that a practice game?
They lost to Canyon.
Oh.
Canyon.
Well, there you go. Shows how much I know.
You're fine.
Canyon beat them by 5. I think the reason I got confused is right now in the top 5, I think those 3 teams are all there.
Yeah.
Canyon, Clark, and DP.
In that Canyon game, Keith didn't play. So no Davis, no Keith.
I think El Dorado was pretty decent last year. Their best player this year might be Javion Brown, who I think was one of their football guys, too, maybe. I'm going to go Desert Pines.
Okay. The game of the day, the game of the week. Centennial at Arborview. I'm just going to get right to it.
All right.
I think this is – forget about where the game's being played or who's on either team. I think this is a good old-fashioned Northwest backyard brawl. And Centennial is a better school and does a lot of things better than Arborview, and they're going
to
win this game. My upset of the week.
I hope you're listening.
My upset of the week.
Wow.
My upset of the week.
Not only taking aim at the basketball program, but the whole school.
No, if you look at the banners in the gym, who's the better school? Look at the banners.
All I know is Arborview, both basketball programs won a league title last year. Centennial did not.
All right, look at the gym.
I don't think it's that big of an upset. I think Arborview is clearly the favorites at home, but I think either team could win. I think Arborview is better, though. I'm going to go with the Aggies.
All righty. You want to do a $5 wager on that? I don't even know where we're at on the $5 wagers. I might owe you some money.
Well, I'll figure it out. What would you make the line?
I would get plus points.
Yeah, you would get plus points.
Give me six.
5.5, so we don't have to push.
Okay, I'll take Centennial plus 5.5. Okay.
Arborview minus 5.5. I don't know if that's
okay.
That's
Alrighty. Next game, Basic at Silverado. Antre Johnson is probably the man. He is the man. I know that for Basic. Silverado's much improved. I still like Basic in this game by less than 10.
Yeah, Silverado should be better this year coming off a 4-18 season. They got the big man Austin Hunt looking to have a big year, but Basic, I think, is going to get this win.
All right, last game, Mojave-Durango. Durango was in our preseason top 10. I love the 1-2 combo of Estrada and Gaynor. Estrada, nasty leg injury. He's done. Gaynor's a one-man show. He's still enough to beat Mojave, but I don't think the Blazers are going to be threatening like we thought they would, and that sucks.
Yeah, glad we're closing out with Durango, though, because I think they still could be a dangerous team to watch. Daryl Gaynor, if he stays on the floor, I know last year didn't finish the season at Palo Verde, but this kid is great when he plays. He had 32 the other night. I think he's going to be great all year. Durango's going to win this game. It's going to be the first of many this year.
And if we're doing a three-point contest between the Austins, Star, and Morgan, let's add Alex Tarkanian to the list, Jerry's grandson, who is deadly from three.
Change his name to Austin? I'll
text his dad and find out.
All right, thanks a lot for listening. We'll be back next week, Prep Sports Now.